on any longer, as I am blessed for the many hours I've sat with Bishop Talley and been blessed by his wisdom and love of the Lord. I welcome you to come talk to us and minister us through the word. Thank you. Let's give him a friendly hand. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Move this, or can you hear me?
Move it. Okay. Is that better? Yes. All right. Now you can hear me. Well, I'll say it again. What a great God we serve. Yes. Isn't it great to be in the presence of God this morning? Yes. To be in His house, to come and to receive from Him today. Praise the Lord. He's a great God. Yeah, let's give Him praise. He's worthy of it. Amen. It is an honor today to be with you, to be in service with you today. And just to be able to minister the word and later conduct some business. But it's just an honor to be with you and to see some faces I've never seen before and some that I may recognize. But we're glad that you're here today, and we thank God for it. I'm going to ask my wife, if she would, to stand and greet you this morning before we get into the message. Amen. Amen. Appreciate my wife. I appreciate your pastors this morning. I appreciate them and the work that they're doing here and the opportunities that we've had to visit and share the word of the Lord and just kind of encourage one another in Christ. And so I appreciate the opportunity, Pastor, to be able to share the word today. How many of us have ever been to, let's say, McDonald's? I worked at McDonald's years ago when I was a teenager going to school. And I remember one of the first things they taught us was how to greet a customer. And when we greeted that customer, it was, "Hello, how may I help you?" Isn't that right? Didn't that sound about right? And somebody would come up and they'd say, "Oh, I want a Big Mac," or "I want a cheeseburger," and all these kinds of things. And am I trying to make you hungry? Well, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, the point is simply this. They asked the question, "What do you want? What is it that you would like to have?" And as I was studying and preparing and thinking about the sermon for this week and the direction that God was wanting me to go, the thought just kept running through my spirit in Mark chapter 10 and verse 51. And we're going to look at several verses there this morning. But simply this question, Mark chapter 10, verse 51. Jesus simply asked the question to blind Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" Yeah. What do you want me to do for you? And you know, sometimes when we hear those words, we think of Jesus and we think of the Father, we think of the Spirit as an ATM machine that is just going to give me everything I need and He's going to take care of my every situation. Yes, God is. But He also wants from us too. But I want you to understand that God will supply your needs. But I want us to also understand He's not some magic genie or something, you know, that we rub a pot and He comes out and grants us three wishes. It's a lifestyle. It's a change of life. It's an encounter. It is an experience with Christ. And so this morning I want to talk to you today about the thought. First of all, why did you come to church this morning? I came because I wanted to receive from the Lord and I also wanted to worship Him. There was two things in my whole philosophy. You said, "No, you came to preach." No, I came to worship the Lord. Because when I worship the Lord, I know when I'm worshiping Him, and out of my worship, He's going to say, "What can I do for you today? What is it that you need?" Maybe you today might be lost. Maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe today you're suffering some pains in your body. Maybe today you need some peace in your soul. I don't know what it might be today, but I need the Lord to come and minister to me. So I know you do too. And I believe that the word of the Lord is asking you the question this morning, what do you want me to do for you? What do you need? Let's look at Matthew chapter 10 and that 51st verse simply reads, and I'm going from the King James, and it simply says this, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What is it that you want me to do for you? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight." That was his number one need. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Bow your head with me. Father, I thank you today for the opportunity to stand behind this desk and to minister your word. And Father, I know that your word is anointed because it was given to us anointed. And so, Father, I pray that this morning by your Holy Spirit that you'll open our hearts and our ears to hear and to receive, Father, what you have for us. And that, Father, as we live for you and as we serve you, God, that you will ask us today, as we know, what is it you need from me? And Father, we thank you for it today in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. But I believe this morning that the Spirit of God is asking us that question. What is it that you need of me? What do you want him to do for you? What is it that you want God to do in your life? And so this morning I want you to do something maybe you're not accustomed to doing. But I want you to declare with your mouth. See, out of your mouth comes words of living water, right? Out of your worth, out of your mouth comes the words of life and death. You can convince yourself you're stupid if you say I'm stupid long enough. You can convince yourself that you're ugly if you say, man, look at that ugly person in the mirror long enough. But you can also convince yourself that I'm a child of God because I know that I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ because his word has told me so. I can also convince myself that I'm healed because I know that his word says that he is my healer. And so this morning I want to ask you these things. I want you to understand with me. I want you to declare with your mouth right now. What is it that you need God to do in your life? What is it that you need from God this morning? Maybe it might be, I need peace, God, or I need healing. I need a financial miracle. I want to see my children saved. I want you this morning to declare with your mouth, out of the word of God, to speak right now the word that you need from God. Your neighbors doesn't need to hear it. I don't need to hear it. The only one that needs to hear it is the one who says, what do you want me to do for you today? He needs to hear it. There's an old song that we used to sing years ago when I was younger and as a child. And I remember singing, my God can do anything, anything, anything. My God can do anything. He made the earth and all its fullness, and all that time shall bring. My God can do anything. Now with your mouth, if you haven't already done it, you've declared what you need from the Lord. I want you to declare this morning, my God can do anything. Whatever it is that you asked him for, whatever it is that you have need of this morning, whatever it is that you're looking from him, I want you to declare, my God can do anything. Because nothing is impossible with God. Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. Say it. All things are possible. What are you doing this morning? You're declaring in your heart and in your spirit, man. You're letting him know. You're letting this flesh know, my God can do it. Yes. My God can supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. If we only encounter Jesus and never experience Jesus, then we will never hear Jesus say, what do you want from me? What is it that I can do for you? In other words, let me say it this way. An encounter is to meet, to see, to hear, to smell. In other words, this morning, I'm back to food again. I can smell the barbecue. Right? When I smell the barbecue, I am having an encounter with that smell. Isn't that true? Have you ever went to mom and dad's and smelt the grill, or maybe your husband or your wife or whoever's the grill master in your home, and they got the steaks or the chicken or whatever it might be out there on the grill and you can smell it? It's like when you pull up into the driveway, you smell it, you know it. Burger King is really good about putting out that charbroil smell that says, ooh, I think I need a burger today. The point is simply this today. An encounter is to meet or to hear or to smell. And so therefore, we encounter the barbecue. We encounter a smell. We encounter a presence that's there. Now hear me this morning. An experience is the knowledge, is to have knowledge and to taste and to touch. In other words, let me say it this way. I'm eating the barbecue. I have gone past encountering the smell to experiencing the meat that's giving off the smell. Let that preach to you for a minute. I've gone past just the simple presence of God that I can feel in the house to the place of encountering the one that is given, or the presence of the one that is in the place. If I could say it that way this morning. That's here right now. See, my point is, and I want us to understand what I'm saying this morning, is when we experience Christ, we experience something that's touched. I can encounter a bottle of water, but it won't do me any good until I experience the water that's in it. I don't know that it's cool. I don't know that it's thirst quenching. I don't know that it will supply the natural needs of water in my body until I begin to drink the water. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to you this morning, you can just encounter God, but until you experience Him, you'll never have what you need from Him. In other words, years ago when I was a young man and got my first driver's license, I wanted a Corvette and a Camaro. I wanted a fast car. I wanted something to look good, you know, and these type of things. That's what I wanted. And I remember going to the auto dealership for the first time, and I'd had a job for a while, and I was going to go buy me a Camaro. And when I got in there, I could afford it. I thought, hey, I'm going to buy it. And I thought, and something spoke to me and said, I don't know if it was the car dealer or if it was the Lord or if it was myself or whatever, but said, you better check what the insurance is going to cost you. And when I did, it was going to cost me more than the car. So I ended up with a Datsun pickup at that time. A friend of mine here not too long ago bought him a Corvette. He would tell me all about it, showed me the pictures. I didn't encounter with the man. I could see myself riding in that thing, but I wasn't in it because it wasn't mine and it was only a picture. But one day he came by the house. He said, I thought you might want to go for a ride. I said, you better believe it. I went from an encounter with it to an experience with it. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? We got to get past. We can't just settle for an encounter. Oh, I feel the doodads up my back and that's all I've just experienced. But I want to see God. I want to have an experience with God. When I see Him raise the dead, when I see Him heal the sick, when I see souls being changed and lives changed, because it's all about an experience with Jesus, not just an encounter. Man, what an experience it was to ride in that Corvette too. Scared me to death when he hit 110. And it didn't even feel like it. But my wife says, I'm still not getting one. In Luke chapter 8, we find the story of a woman with an issue of blood. And she has been to every doctor, and none of them could help. She has spent all of her money, the story tells us, of everything, all of her wealth and everything, on trying to get this issue of blood taken care of. But she hears Jesus is coming. She knows that she can encounter Jesus because He's coming. She could have a moment of visitation. Maybe if He walks by or whatever. She said, I can have this encounter. But then she goes on to say, but if I touch the hem of His garment, I can have an experience. Are you with me this morning? If I touch the hem of His garment, He can come in the room and I can have an encounter with Him. Or I can have an experience if I touch Him. And I want to encourage you this morning to have an experience with Christ or with Jesus and touch the hem of His garment. Because there's more in the experience than there is in the encounter. Isn't that right? There's more in the experience. See, if we encounter Jesus, we will experience His abilities to meet all of our needs. Let's get back to the text, Matthew chapter 10, and about the 46th verse. And I'll use several verses from there down. But we find that in the story, Jesus and His disciples are coming out of Jericho. Now, it's not just a story. This is real life. This is something that happened. So in Matthew chapter 10, 46 is where I'm at, in case you're still looking. Jesus and His disciples and a great number of people are coming out of Jericho. And blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timotheus, sat by the highway side begging. Here's a blind man sitting beside the road, and he's begging. He's done it all of his life. He's done it all of his life. He's begged for money. He's begged for food. He's begged for help. He's begged for all of these things. And theologians teach us today that Bartimaeus was born blind. And they also tell us today that most likely his father was blind as well. They also teach us that the blind are identified by a distinctive coat. So in other words, if you've seen them down the highway or you've seen them alongside the road, they wore a coat that identified them as being blind, much like we do with a white stick or cane, that you see somebody walking down the street with a white stick and it's feeling along the road. Obviously, we know that they are blind or visually impaired. And so the point I'm wanting to get to this morning is simply this. 47 says, and when he heard... When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, that it was Jesus there. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Excuse me. And in that verse, I want you to catch the words that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Why was it that important? Because I compared him with you and I. We have heard of Jesus. We may have even encountered Jesus in an altar experience. We've heard His word. We've heard it preached. We've read His Bible. We've sang songs about Jesus and His deliverance. But here we have blind Bartimaeus, who has done nothing but sit on the side of the road and heard people talking all the time about different things. I bet he knows about brother and sister John Johns, and I hope there's no John John in this place, that all their marital problems and all their children's problems, he knew all about whatever was going on because people were coming and going down this highway and coming in and out of the city, and he heard all about what was going on. He heard about the economy. He heard about all these other kinds of things, but he also heard disciples talking about Jesus. And they heard people talking about the blind man that was healed. They heard, he's heard them talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000. He's heard all these things as they're passing by. Some are ignoring him. Some are tossing him a coin. Some of these Christians and stuff that are there, or disciples and followers of Jesus, are maybe throwing him some breadcrumbs or whatever every now and then, but yet they never stop to give him what they received from Jesus. But I'm not going to go there this morning. I want you to realize with me, he sat there and heard all these things. How many of us have heard that Jesus is the healer? I've heard that he's the healer. I personally have experienced that he is the healer. Amen. I have an experience in my body that he healed me of cancer. I have an experience in my body where he's touched and healed my back. I know because I've had an experience with Christ, but I want you to be able to know what I have received of God that he is willing to give to you this morning. And he just simply says, what do you want? What is it that you have need of? And so this blind man has heard. He's heard all the stories of Jesus, and he knows who he is. And I love this. He begins to cry out. I want you to think about that. If you really wanted a healing, if you really believed that this Jesus was able to give you what you wanted this morning, how many of us would still be sitting quietly in our seat or would we be crying out if Jesus were to walk into this building or if his presence were to fill this place and that we understood his word that says, yes, I want to give you whatever it is that you have desire or need of this morning. How many of us would still be sitting here? We'd be crying out, oh God, you're my healer. Oh God, you're my source. Oh God, you're my strength. Can you imagine blind Bartimaeus as he's praising God and he's saying, oh Lord, here I am. Oh please God, come by me now. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because that 48th verse says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, though thou son of David, have mercy on me. I want you this morning to begin to realize the more you cry out to God, the more you cry out to him in faith and believing in what you've heard and in what you know, you'll begin to cry out to him, God heal me, God heal me, God deliver me, God save me. Amen. When I went through the cancer stuff, there was a song that the Lord laid in my spirit. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. That's about all the song I knew, but I just kept singing it. It was in my spirit. It was in me. I knew that God was going to care. I knew that God was going to take care of it. I didn't worry about it because I knew what God was able to do. My point this morning is, do you know what God is able to do for you this morning? Blind Bartimaeus understood that this Jesus is going to come by and bring healing to my body. He's going to restore my sight. Do you understand that he is the healer of cancer? Do you understand that he is the source of all that you have need of this morning? Come on, give him praise this morning because he is able to supply all your needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, blind Bartimaeus wanted an encounter with Jesus because he had heard of the experiences that others had with those encounters. Jesus, verse 49 says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Really? Be excited, be happy. No, be of good comfort. Now I realize it's a terminology of the language of the time, but understand what I'm saying. I'm sure that those disciples, if it was here today and it was happening now, those disciples that were telling him to shut up were now telling, oh dude, it's about to happen. Are you with me? Something's about to happen. Something's getting ready. Oh, you better get ready. He's coming. He's calling for you because he wants to do something for you. You better get up. You better get up off of your seat. You better get up off of yourself. You need to get up right now because he's calling you. And can I tell you that very same thing, that the same Lord that called for blind Bartimaeus is calling for you this morning, and he's saying to each and every one of us this morning, oh, you better get up. The angels are crying, oh, he's coming. You called for him. You confessed with your mouth. You believed in your worship. Ah, he's coming. He's calling for you. That verse 50 says, and he, casting in his way his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now I would strip my coat off right now, but I got suspenders on and they don't match, so I'm not going to do that. Because my wife's already warned me to keep my coat together. But the point I'm simply making is when he realized Jesus was calling him. I don't normally leave the pulpit. I'm going to do it this morning. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
The Bible says that he rose up, stripped off that coat. What did we just say a little while ago? That coat represented
God's blindness.
He took that coat that represented what he was.
Yes. Yeah.
And stripped it away.
Yes,
to come to Jesus. I want you to think about something for just a moment with me. He had heard about Jesus. He had heard what he could do. He had heard about what was going on. He knew what Jesus could do for him. But yet in that moment, by faith, I believe it was a faith move that he got up and he stripped that thing off and he came to Jesus. Why? Because he didn't want to stand before Jesus crippled or blind or anything. I stand before him as a man. I stand before him as an individual that says, God, I have a need. And he says, what is it that you want me to do for you? Now, I'm paraphrasing it, but that's what he said. What is it you want me to do for you? And he says, that I might receive my sight. Now, I want you to recognize with me that blind Bartimaeus has always asked for food or money. Today, he's asking for something different. Why? Because he's in front of somebody he knows that can do something different.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I don't know about you, but man, I could almost have myself a Pentecostal spell.
Hallelujah.
Can you think about that for a moment? He has always asked for what he had need of physically, the feeling of what he needed. To fill his belly, maybe to help feed his family, whatever it was. He's always asked for food and money. But today, there's a man standing here in front of me that can do more than give me food and more than give me money. There's a man that's standing in front of me right now that says, tell me what you need me to do. What is it that you have need of me to do? Can I tell you this morning, as I started this message today, Jesus is asking, what is it that you have need of me to do for you today? And that's what he's asking you. Are you willing to stand up and begin to worship the Lord and say, God, this is what I have need of because I'm standing, you're standing right now in the very presence of the King.
Amen.
Are you here?
The
Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. When we come together, two or three gathered in his name, he is in the midst of them. Can I tell you this morning, he is here right now. Just, we may not see it in a physical form, but just as real as he was before blind Bartimaeus, he stands before you now and asks the question, what is it you have need of? What is it? What is it you need? Is it salvation? Is it hope? Is it healing? Is it strength? What is it that you have need of me this morning? What is it that you have need of? Remember, that coat that identified him as blind is gone. That's why we understand this morning the importance of him removing that coat, because it was an act of faith. It was an act of faith. And I'm going to close with these last two thoughts, and it's simply this. When blind Bartimaeus heard, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? When we hear, it changes our expectations. Amen? It changes our expectations. When I hear God say, what is it you would have me do for you? It changes my expectations. If I were to go to Brother Lodger and say, hey man, can you give me $100? Thank God he's got it.
He does.
So if I were to go to him and ask him for $100 and he gave it, okay, great, I got $100, I walk off with it. But it still doesn't give me what I really need. It doesn't give me my sight. It doesn't give me my hope. It doesn't give me the strength. Because all he's done is supply me for a moment or a need for a time. But when I stand before somebody who is able to give me more than what I just have need of for the moment, see, the Bible teaches us we can teach or we can give.
kind of fish. He'll eat the rest of his life.
Yes, that's right. Right. Yeah, that's right.
So when I stand before a God that says, listen, what is it that you want me to do for you? He's able to teach me to do whatever it is that I need so that I can receive everything that I have need of. Because it's in a relationship with Christ that these things are done. It's not in a, well, I gave $100 in the offering, so God owes me. No.
No, we don't.
It don't work that way. And you might say, well, I've been a member of the church for 50 years, you know, going on my 50th anniversary. Well, fantastic. But that don't cut it either.
No.
A relationship that says, God, I'll give you because I love you. God, I'll serve you because I love you. God, because of all you've done for me. It's not what you're doing for me right now. It's because I love you and because what you've already done by giving your son to die for me.
Yes.
I'm going to have a lifestyle change. I'm
yes.
going to accept you.
Yes.
And God, when I come to you and I ask him, and you say, God, what is it? God, you ask the question, what do you need? I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to do it with a different expectation than what the doctor says.
Yes.
Well, we can do surgery, and we can do this, and we can do that, or we can give you some shots, or we can do this, and we can fix that, and all these kinds of things. That's fine, but he's not the one that's going to really do the healing.
Right.
He's just going to take care of symptoms.
That's right.
This morning, are you tired of living in the symptoms?
Yes.
Yes.
Just taking care of the symptoms. One day or another. Maybe you say it this way. Living one pain pill to the next. Living one paycheck to the next.
Amen.
Huh? Living from one story to another. One problem to another. When Jesus says, listen, he can heal, he can save, he can deliver, he can turn your life around, he can change it all.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. He can fix it all.
Praise your name.
What is it you have need of today? I'd like you to be about an eye close for just a moment, please. What is it? What is it that you would ask of the Lord? What is it that you have called on him for? What is it? In that 52nd verse, Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Jesus didn't spit in the ground and make mud this time and put it in his eyes. He didn't make no salve. He didn't lay hands on him. He didn't preach no sermon to him. Know what he says. Go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Your faith, the faith that caused blind Bartimaeus to strip that coat and stand before Jesus with a different expectation. I'm asking you this morning that when you worship and when you pray, and you're asking God for those things as you declared to him earlier, stand before him with a different expectation. Worship him and believe him as if you're receiving it right now. See, the scriptures don't say the blind Bartimaeus went after he received his sight, ran back, grabbed his coat, and went back to begging. The Bible says that blind Bartimaeus left all that he had and followed Jesus. You know why he asked you today, what is it you'd let me have me do for you? It's because he wants you to be another witness of the power of salvation, of the power of healing, the power of love. Blind Bartimaeus could have asked for anything. But he asked for his sight. And it turned his life around. I know this morning that you have declared some things that will change your life. There's some things in your life today that you're saying, God, I need you to take care of. God, only you can fix this. God, you know what it is. Yeah, he knows. But he wants you today to declare it to him.
and then stand before Him ready to receive it. Because that's what Bartimaeus did. He stood there in anticipation of what's going to happen next. And Jesus just said, your faith has made you whole. And his eyes opened and he followed Jesus from that day forward. I don't think a day went by that probably blind Bartimaeus did not tell the story. Being born blind, sitting on the roadside for years, begging food, begging alms. And then one day he heard Jesus was coming. I don't pretend to know your needs, your situations of life. Those are not my business. Those are God's business. But I ask you this morning, right now, if you have something that you want to give to God, that you really want to leave on the altar, then I'm going to ask you to come this morning and find a place to pray. If you want prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. But this morning, I believe that God is standing before you right now at this very moment in time. And say, are you going to expect to walk out of here with nothing, or do you expect to receive something? You want to leave the way you came, or you want to leave changed? How do you, whatever you want, just... He said, what can I do for you, blind Bartimaeus? What is it you want? And so I'm going to ask you right now, if you have those need in your life, something you're asking God for, I want you this morning, I'm asking you today to get up out of your seat and come and find an altar right now. This is between you and God, no one else. I'm asking you to come. God, I want to leave these things right here for you. I want to leave these on the altar for you. I need you, God, to take care of them. Nobody else can do it. And so, God, I'm coming this morning with a different expectation. I'm coming with a different expectation. Thank you for this one that's coming and others. Is there others here this morning who say, God, you know what? I'm going to leave here with a different expectation. I'm going to leave here believing you, God. I'm going to leave here receiving from you. Thank you. It's all up to you, folks. I just give you the word. I tell you the truth. I give you the gospel. You, now it's for you to decide what you want to do with it. Do you want to leave here the same? Because that's just what you expect. Or do you want to leave changed? I encourage you today, find or make an altar wherever you are. And let's leave these things with Jesus this morning. Would you do that today?